Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to Pastor Black, the angel of the house, to Elder Manyweather, Elder Farmer, to our mothers, our deacons, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an honor to be your worship leader this morning, the presider. Our call to worship comes from 1 Chronicles 16, starting with verse 8. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord." And then verse 36 says, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people shouted, "Amen," and "Praise the Lord." That is our call to worship this morning as we go forth with praise and worship and the presence of the Lord. Let it enter into your environment this morning. As we go forth, next we will have a song, "Welcome Into This Place." It is Youth Sunday, so praise the Lord for our youth that are on the call this morning and that will be leading us further into our worship this morning. So after "Welcome Into This Place," we will have our opening prayer by our very own Brother JC, and then we will have our devotional reading from Brother Josiah, and he will be reading from the New Living Translation, Proverbs 15, verses 25 through 26. So now we will have our song, "Welcome Into This Place."
Into this broken vessel you desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift up our hearts as we offer up this praise unto your name. Here, creation declares your glory, and the universe declares your majesty. Still you choose to abide in the praises of your people, so we offer up unto your name. Say it.
Welcome
into this place.
Into this place.
Come on, let's welcome him tonight.
Welcome
to this broken
vessel.
We know that you desire
to abide
in the praises,
in the praises of your people.
So we lift,
so we lift our hands,
and we lift up our hearts, yes we do, as we offer up. Choose to abide in the praises of your people, so we offer up this praise unto your name. Oh,
welcome,
welcome
into this
your name.
Come on, can we do that right now? Just welcome him, come on.
Oh, we worship you,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, we do, Lord.
We magnify your name.
Come on, welcome him tonight. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, church. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for everything you've done. Everything you've done for us. We thank you for our week the way it is. We thank you for treating us and just doing kindly things to us. And just, we praise your name and thank you for everything you've done. In your name, amen.
May the Lord have a blessing to all the believers. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he protects the property of the widows. The Lord detests evil plans, but he delights in pure words. And may the Lord have a blessing to all the readers and listeners. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you to our young men this morning who prayed and who read the scripture for us. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah and Brother Josiah. Amen. Now we will have our very own Sister Mona McGee with our announcement.
Good morning, church family. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. Pastor Black wants to thank you all. And we want to welcome our special guest for the first time. If anyone's on the phone, please press 1 so we can bring you on live to say hello to the church family or just to say hey. But please, okay, so no one's on the phone for the first time, but thank you for everyone, even the church family, for popping in today. Amen. And that's all.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mona, for welcoming our visitors and welcoming our church family for this wonderful worship experience. So now I am, this is my last time getting back live. I am going to turn it over to Pastor. She is going to do our pastoral observations, and then we will have our exhortation of praise and worship by Sister Yolanda Menifee, and then our praise and worship, and then Pastor Black will be back with our spoken word this morning. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, it is an honor, it is a privilege, and it is my pleasure to be able to worship with you on today. I thank God for our young people on today. I'm helping us with our worship experience. We're so grateful to those two young men for their opening prayer and the scripture reading. Thank God for Sister Kamisha being our presider and Sister Mona with our announcements. Just by way of pastoral observations, I'm going to remind us that we are having prayer every night at 7 o'clock p.m. I want to encourage you to join us for prayer. Maybe you're not doing the Daniel fast, but I do know that prayer changes things. So I want to invite you, I want to encourage you to join us every night for prayer at 7 o'clock p.m. If you don't have the number is 774-220-4000, and the code is 55558, and then you press the pound. So we know that where there is much prayer, there is much power. There's little prayer, there's little power. Where there is no prayer, there is no power. And the only way that we are going to be able to stand and let our light shine, let our voices be heard, with the spirit of truth is through the power of prayer. So I want to encourage you to join us for prayer. Every night we're going to be praying up until the 31st of January, Monday through Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. You can call in. We encourage you to participate. Read a scripture. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Read Psalms 23. Say something. Amen. The Bible says, let us all make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it encourages us to let our voices be heard because we don't want any rocks to cry out. Amen. Also want to remind our ministry leaders that on this Thursday, we will be meeting. We will be meeting at 7:30, immediately following prayer. Our ministry leaders will be meeting at 7:30, immediately following our evening prayer. We will be meeting on Zoom. So I want to encourage all of our ministry leaders to join us for prayer. And then let's hang up and get on our Zoom call. So we are just excited about what the Lord is getting ready to do in our midst and how the Lord is going to use us mightily in 2022. So just want to remind us that we are getting prepared for Black History Month. If you would like to make a Black History presentation during our Sunday morning worship experience during the month of February, please reach out to me. We're asking that each person that would like to participate prepare a 2 to 3 minute speech or presentation on the Black History person of your choice. And that's going to be for the month of February. There's 4 Sundays. So I'm going to be looking for at least 4 to 6 volunteers who would like to sign up to do a Black History presentation in the month of February. So I'm giving us a heads up, giving us the opportunity to volunteer without Pastor just sending you a text message saying, hey, this is your turn for Black History Month presentation. So we will be having a moment of Black History starting in February, and I'm hoping that 4 or 5 or 6 of you would volunteer so that we can have a wonderful Black History celebration this month. Please continue to pray for those that are sick and shut in. Pray for those that are seeking employment. Please pray for those that are dealing with mental health issues. We know that trauma is real, and everybody experiences situations differently. And so we cannot say that what affects one person should not affect them because we don't know how they digress or deal with their trauma. But trauma is real. And so we want to continue to pray for each other, continue to keep each other lifted up in prayer, because we know that prayer changes things and it changes circumstances and it changes situations and it changes people. So let us continue to pray. Let us continue to seek God's face, for he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And I just want to let you know that this month, January, is National Blood Donor Month. Donating blood is a safe way for healthy Americans, for healthy adults. And it is a great way to give back to others. If you are interested in donating blood, we know that for African Americans, it's hard because people don't like to donate blood. And we want to do our best to help each other. So if you're interested in donating blood, just go to www.redcrossblood.org to find the nearest blood drive near you. Amen. Those are our pastoral observations for this Sunday morning. I hope you're ready for praise and worship. I hope you're ready to just allow the Lord to have his way in your space this morning, in your home, in your car. Maybe you're on the job this morning and you're listening in and you got a 15-minute break. Just steal away and allow the praise and worship to transform your heart and your mind, to help the rest of your work day go off with much joy and much excitement for what God is about to do in your midst. We know that when praises go up, blessings come down. And so all we want to do is get you to a place where you can lift up holy hands and to exalt the name of our Lord and Savior. Sister Yolanda is coming to give us our exhortation of prayer, praise, and worship. I don't want you to just sit on the call and listen. I want to encourage you today to be a participator. If she say clap your hands, clap your hands. If she say shout unto God with a voice of triumph, hey, it ain't going to be nobody mad but the devil. And if you got family members that are asleep, what a good way to be woken up is with a shout unto God. Amen. If she say, get up and do your dance, get up and do your two-step, put him up, put him down. Whatever it is today, don't just sit, but be a participator with our exhortation of praise and worship. I now yield this call over to Sister Yolanda Minifee.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, church family. God, we say thank you for another beautiful day. God, you allowed the sun to shine, so we say thank you. It may be a little cold outside, but God, we still thank you anyway. God, we are excited, excited, excited about this morning's worship experience. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and allow us to get to this point. God, thank you for the prayers that have went before us, God, and also for our pastor's observation. But God, as she said, God, we just want to be the person that you have created us to be. So help us to be on the prayer calls. Even myself, God, forgive me for not being on those. God, I will do better. God, I just say thank you. I just want to thank you for our youth. Since this is Youth Sunday, God, thank you for allowing the babies to know the word, to have it in them. Thank you for the parents, God. You said training the child in the way they should go. So, God, we just thank you for our youth, that we are training them in the way that you would have them to go so they can be who you would have them to be, not who this world says that they are. So, God, we just love you on today. God, as we go forth in our worship experience, God, let our spirits be moved by the songs. Let our minds roll back and remember the things that you have done for us so that we will be moved to, God, just be grateful. Just be moved to say thank you. Thank you for the things that you have done, even when we did not deserve them. God, as we go forth, let the words just meditate in our minds and in our hearts to want to love the way that you would have us to love people with unconditional love. God, to remove any illness or ill feelings or ill will towards anybody. And God, help us to even just forgive ourselves for things that we have done. So God, as the songs go forth, let us praise your name, give you the glory, because that is our reasonable service. That is the least that we can do, and we owe you that. God, we continue to give you everything that we have, because we would have nothing, God, if it was not for you. God, there is so much that you have given us that we have not deserved, but you have continued to bestow blessings and blessings and blessings on us. God, I thank you for favor, God. I thank you for the covering for my family, for our friends, God, for our church family, God. But we thank you for the pastor, the shepherd of this house, that she continues to pray for us and to continue to love on us and continue to speak life into us and over us. And God, and she pushes us to do better, to want to do better and want to live right. So we will all be in that glorious day, God, when we will be able to see you and hear you say, well done. So, God, as we go forth listening to the music, God, as the music says sing, let us sing. As the music says praise, let us praise. If it says to give you glory, God, whatever the music says to do, God, let our hands begin to do those things. Let us throw our hands up to give you glory. Let us lift our voice to say hallelujah, to say thank you, God. We are grateful, to say, God, we love you, to say, God, we praise you, to say we glorify your name. So, God, whatever the song says, God, let those things, let this body be doing those things. Let us stump our feet. Let us, look, I live in an apartment, so let my neighbors know this is the time. Oh, I know what she's doing. So, God, he said, can't nobody be mad but the devil, because, and even in that case, I don't care. But, God, I just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we are excited, we are excited, we are excited. And God, let us prepare our minds and even our hearts and our songs and even our ears to hear the words. So God, as the music prepares us to be in the place to hear the word, God, we just say thank you. Thank you for this vessel that you have given us, but also, God, thank you for being God and God all by yourself. Amen.
I love the praises.
I love the praises.
And I see courage. Hey, oh, hey, oh, belong, belong,
Hallelujah. Blessings and glory and honor, it all belongs to you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Yolanda, for getting us to that place of worship, that place that our hearts, our minds are open and ready to receive a word from the Lord. I do want to ask special prayer requests, and I forgot to mention this during my pastoral observation. I do want to ask that we would remember to keep lifting up Bishop Charles L. Dickerson and the Dickerson family. Bishop Dickerson lost his mother on last week. He is his mother's only child, and in February, he will be officiating and preaching her homegoing celebration. And so we want to keep Bishop Dickerson and family lifted up in prayer. I also want to pray for Bishop Joseph Hall Jr. Bishop Hall lost his father this week, and they will be having services this week coming right there in Shreveport and in Mansfield, Louisiana. So we want to continue to pray and keep my brothers lifted up in prayer, that God would strengthen them and that God would give them a word, that they may continue to preach and teach the gospel even in the midst of their hurt. We know that God is a healer, God is a deliverer, and God is a sustainer. So we're asking that this week, as you're praying, that you would call out their names in prayer, that God would strengthen them for the assignment that he has placed upon their lives. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you for your spirit, for your presence. We thank you for being a just God, a kind love, a forgiving God, a gracious God. And Father God, as we look to your word this morning, we ask that you would give us an understanding of what it is our responsibility is toward the judicial system and for the laws that have been created and the laws that have been passed and the laws that are failing. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would help us use our voices of influence wherever we are, in school, at work, at church, at the doctor's office. We have a voice of influence because we study your word, we read your word, we believe your word. So help us use our voice of influence to bring changes to the law, to help those who have sworn to be protectors of the law, do it justly, do it with mercy, and do it with your spirit, your wisdom. As we look to this lesson, Father God, we ask now that you would anoint our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds, that we won't only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Let this time of preaching and teaching be an eye-opener to someone, be a thought-provoker for someone, to be a stirrer up in someone's heart, mind, and spirit. Wake up somebody who has been quiet. Their passion is politics. Their passion is the law. Their passion is to see equality and justice for all. Stir them up, wake them up, shake them up, and let them remember that they have the voice and the power of influence because they are readers and hearers and doers of your word. And now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. As we look to our lesson today, for those of you that do not have a Sunday school book, we are coming from the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. It is part of the Torah, one of the first five books of the Old Testament, written by Moses. Amen. We are looking at the book of Deuteronomy. The purpose of the book of Deuteronomy was to remind the people of what God has done and encourage them to rededicate their lives to him. So as we're reading through this passage of scripture today, remember what the purpose of Deuteronomy was for, why God gave Moses the words that are penned to make up this book, to remind the people of what God had done and to encourage them to rededicate their lives to him. Moses is the writer of this, except for the last chapter. Joshua records the death of Moses. And so we are getting ready to look at this lesson today, Deuteronomy chapter 16. There's two verses there, verses 18 through 20. And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 17, verses 8 through 13, and Deuteronomy 19, verses 15 through 21. So we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, 17, and 19. This lesson today, to help us see that judges, officials, and the priests all work together to administer justice for God's people. The aim of this lesson is to help us discover why God established the role of judges, officials, and priests, and what those roles entailed. By the end of this lesson, we will value people who make decisions based on God's justice. And we ourselves will be at a place where we can begin to practice justice in our own lives as leaders. One of the things that I teach at Greater St. Stephen's is that we are all leaders. Mm-hmm. Somebody is watching you and following you, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, the lady or the man across the street, your coworker, the person that sees you day after day on the bus. Somebody is watching you. They're listening to you. Therefore, that makes all of us leaders, and we must lead with integrity and with the wisdom that God has given to us. Before we began reading the scripture, I want to show us something. Oh, I want to tell us something. I wish I could show us something. But I want to kind of lay out for you so that you can get a good understanding of how our federal court system is structured and organized. As we read through Deuteronomy, you will hear these three levels of court in this lesson on today. So the three levels of court that we have in the federal court system is the U.S. District Court. This is the court where the trial is heard. Okay? So the trial is heard in the U.S. District Court. The U.S. District Court, there are 94 U.S. District Courts. There are 2 to 28 judges, and this is the lowest form of court. Then you have the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Once the case has been heard, if one or both parties are dissatisfied with the judgment in the U.S. District Court, the lower court ruling is reviewed by a panel of 3 judges to determine whether there was an issue with the application of law. There are 13 U.S. Circuit Courts of Appeals in the United States. There are 179 full-time circuit judges in all, but only 3 judges hear a single case. And then from there you have the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court is the highest branch of the judicial system, and their job is to basically make sure that everybody has crossed every T and dotted every I. So who makes the laws? This is a little history class, y'all, this morning, before we see that God is a God of order, and that what we have in the United States, quiet as it's kept, was established with the same intent that God had for the children of Israel. So what we have as the court system was not something that somebody made up. It was straight from the Bible. I don't care if they deny it. I don't care if they don't claim it. But as we will read today, you will see these levels that I just shared with you in this scripture found in Deuteronomy. Who makes the law for us in the United States? And that's the Congress. The Congress is set up of the House of Representatives and the Senate. There are 435 elected members, which is divided among the 50 states. That makes up the House of Representatives. The Senate are 100 senators from each of the 50 states have two people in the Senate seat. The Congress is chaired by the Speaker of the House, and the Speaker of the House is the third in line of succession to the presidency. Pastor Black, why are you telling us this? Why are you giving us this information? Because I want us to know that we are the ones responsible for placing these people in position of authority to make rules, to govern over the rules that have been made, and then to pass judgment on people that break these rules. That's why it is important, my brothers and sisters, that when the ballots come to our house or we go to the polls to vote, we do our homework. We do our research. We have got to start putting people in office that have godly character, that have morals and values that reflect the word of God. And the only way we can do that is by doing our homework, by being knowledgeable of who we are voting for. Can't vote for folks because they got the most money. We got to vote for folks that are sounding so close to having that voice of God, having that heart of God. That's why it's important that we pray. I don't know about you all, but prayer has done some wonders in my life. Prayer has done some wonders in my life. Opened up doors for me that I did not anticipate doors to be open. Gave me jobs I was not even qualified to have. Heal somebody or some folks that I've been praying for that's been sick. Made way out of no way for some folks that had their back up against the wall. I know that prayer is real, and I know that prayer works. And so what we need to do before we start voting is praying. All right? So that's it on the history class. Let's look at what the Word of God has to say to us in the book of Deuteronomy. And basically, I'm done. I'm done. I wanted to share this with you as an opening to this lesson. In our lesson, it talks to us about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Franklin D. Roosevelt. He did a speech in 1941 called Four Freedoms. In 1941, when F.D. Roosevelt was serving his third term as president, his State of the Union address, he articulated a powerful vision for a world in which all people had four freedoms. Those four freedoms were freedom of speech, meaning you can express what you want, when you want, wherever you want. Then the next freedom was the freedom of religion. That was people could worship God anywhere, wherever they wanted to, however they wanted to worship him. The next one was the freedom of want. This was economy understanding, having a healthy peacetime in life for all that inhabited. This is where people could work, and gain employment and make money to make sure that their families or the individual lived as peaceably as possible. Then it was the freedom of fear. The freedom of fear. This means a world where reduction of any act of physical act of violence against anyone's neighbor. This bold vision for the world was to embrace these four fundamental foundations. It was important 81 years ago, and it is important today. We should not be living in a time where we are afraid to sit on the porch because folks are doing drive-by shootings. We've got to be careful, saints of God, how we vote and how we support the laws that are being made for us. We know here in Portland, Pastor Mark Knutson is working to help make sure that the law is passed, that people here in Oregon go through an extensive background before they are given a gun license. We also know that the other measure that he's trying to get is that the magazines that are on the streets be not those magazines like was used in New York. The other day, the young man fired off over 40 rounds. So let's y'all, we got to do what's right. We got to do it right. Let's read, and I'm going to be just about done, point out a few things, and we'll wrap this up. I've got about 24 minutes left. Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20. It says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, appoint judges and officers for yourselves from each of your tribes and all of the towns the Lord your God has given you. They may judge the people fairly. That's how we get our House of Representatives and our senators and our judges. They are all voted upon. Verse 19 says, you must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. 22 says, let true justice prevail, so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God has given unto you. I'm going to pause right here and just kind of point out something in this verse right here, in verse 20. It is the necessary condition for the people of Israel to live peaceful and prosper in the promised land was the application of true justice. The Lord's blessing for his people is enjoyed as long as the people live in accordance with the requirements laid down for them. The absence of justice will incur not only the curse of God in the land, but will also generate disorder that will make life challenging. True justice will protect the vulnerable from oppression by the strong, but above all, it will grant everyone the possibility to enjoy a peaceful life where their rights are protected. In the book of Hebrews, the scripture tells us to obey the law of the land. In order for us to enjoy a peaceable life, we must obey the laws of the land, and we must obey the word of God. I can't help it what our brothers and sisters do. All I can do is ensure that those of us who call ourselves Christians, who tote Bibles, who read Bibles,
who have professed Christ, who have acknowledged Christ as our Savior, make sure that we do our part. Because when we stand before the righteous God, we're not going to be standing there with Judge, with Mayor Wheeler or Governor Kate. They won't be standing there with us. I'm dealing with a judge right now, the Honorable Judge Michael F. Lloyd. Yes, I'm saying his name because I want the saints of God to pray that his heart be changed and that he rules with the wisdom of God and that he seeks discernment. They will not stand with us when we stand before the righteous judge, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We will be standing there by ourselves. The life that you will see played out on the big screen will be your life, featuring who? You and you alone. So it's my responsibility to make sure that we are adhering to this word. So if we want to enjoy a peaceable life, we must govern ourselves accordingly to the law of the land and the law of the word of God. All right? Let us keep reading. Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 through 13. Deuteronomy 17, verses 8 through 13. Suppose a case arises in a local court that is too hard for you to decide, for instance. Now, remember the three chambers, the three branches of the court that I gave us? This is the U.S. District Court. So this is what 17 and 8 is saying. A case arises in the local court and it's too hard for you to decide. So cases that are heard in the local court. For instance, whether someone is guilty of murder or manslaughter or a difficult lawsuit or a case involving different kinds of insult, take such legal case to the place the Lord your God will choose. That first place is the U.S. District Court. Verse 9 says, and present them to the Levites, the Levitical priest, or the judge on duty at that time. They will hear the case and declare the verdict. Verse 10 says, you must carry out the verdict they announce and the sentence they prescribe at the place the Lord chooses. You must do exactly what they say. So if you are in the U.S. District Court and you are found guilty of a crime, you cannot just get up and go home. You have to abide by that sentence. If they find you guilty, you can be innocent, and we know that to be true. We've seen it over and over again. People were in court, they were found guilty, but they pleaded innocent the whole time. Years later, after some more work and research and discovery had been presented, they went back to court. At that time, they had to go to the next level, the Circuit Appeals Court. We know that when we find the court case of the young men that had been accused of raping the woman in New York, and the name of the movie is escaping me, but y'all have seen it, their case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest level of court, because the U.S. District Court found them guilty, but they were still saying they were innocent. And then it went to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals could not make a right decision on these young men. I think it was 13. It could not find them guilty or innocent, and then it was sent all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which found them innocent of all the charges after they had spent so many years in jail. All right, verse 11 says, after they have interrupted the law and declared their verdict, the sentence they impose must be fully executed. Do not modify it in any way. If you've been sentenced to 18 years, if you've been sentenced to 25 years to life, that's it. But all thanks be to God, they are the appeals that can be made. But you still have to go in to serve the time before you can make it to the appeal court. Verse 12 and 13 says, anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of the judge or the priest who represent the Lord your God must die. In this way, you will purge the evil from Israel. So let me pause here just a moment. This is talking to us about capital punishment. Purging the evil from Israel, as we see here in this verse, appears 9 times with slight variation throughout Deuteronomy, all in explaining a law that is called for the death penalty. Paul quotes this verse when he exhorts the Corinthian church to expel the evil of an incestuous relationship from among them. That's 1 Corinthians 5 and 13. In our present generation, the debate is still going on about outlawing capital punishment. So it is difficult to read about our loving God demanding the death penalty. The view presented in these verses is that a harsh penalty will deter others from initiating the crime. Much of the cause to abandon the modern death penalty is also due to the possibility of error in judgment. Here, however, God himself is consulted so we can trust his judgment as to someone's guilt. Because the priest is consulted in the matter, disregarding the decision is to disregard God's word. Therefore, the crime is punished as seriously as other crimes of idolatry and direct defiance of God. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that these laws were meant to display God to the nation. We must obey the law of the land, and we must obey the word of God. Those people who have been chosen to judge over the law and judge over the word must be God-fearing people who can be trustworthy among other people. They must be wise, impartial, have integrity. They must be able to discern between right and wrong and not subject to bribery. Justice is at the heart of God's character, and he hates imbalanced scales. That's Proverbs 11 and 1. How can we liberate this lesson? Our world needs authority in every realm, and there should be healthy respect and honor for those in leadership. However, when power is misused, it causes there to be a break in the system. It causes a buildup of mistrust. God provides instructions to safeguard against broken trust. And he also establishes that when those leaders are proven trustworthy, their word is their bond. Leaders and the people under their authority must work as partners in progress. One should not oppose the other. A just society is when all are equal under the law and people are judged fairly. Now, it's amazing that this lesson is being presented to us in a time such as this. We can go all the way back to little Edgar Evers, Emmett Till. all the way back to little Emmett Till. If you've been watching the women's movement on Thursday nights, you will see that we have fallen far from fair judgment. They're trying to make changes. They take two steps forward, and then somehow they take two steps backwards. It was good to see the man get convicted of murdering George Floyd. It was good to see that father and son and the neighbor who hunted down the black man because he looked it suspicious. It was good to see them get convicted to serve their time. But we still are waiting to hear what's going to happen to the men and the women who bombarded the White House on January 6, 2021. We're still waiting to see if Mr. Donald Trump will be convicted of the crimes that he has committed. We are living in a nation that has forgotten that God is a God of order, and he has created order that we are to live by. Not that we would oppress the poor. And we know the poor has always been those who don't have the silver spoon in their mouth, who don't have the income, the property, the investments in their portfolio. If you don't have that portfolio, and if you didn't have that silver spoon, baby, you in the poor. And you know that it's not just the black and the browns. We on the bottom of that barrel. But you've got some white folks. You got some yellow folks that don't have that portfolio. And justice for them is not always fair. Justice for us is not always fair. The people, we, our leaders, our judges, our senators, our House of Representatives, the vice president, the president, have to be people that are trustworthy, people of integrity. We must use our voices to be heard for fair resolution of conflicts. As citizens of the United States of America, we must hold our leaders accountable to guide us under the protection of God's authority. How do we apply this lesson to our lives? Imagine your family, your church, your community, your school, the place you work, or the justice system. What if we all took seriously the mandate from God to lead with integrity? What if we all took seriously the mandate from God to lead with integrity? Imagine the impact. Imagine who all would engage. Imagine who all would be involved to help hold leaders accountable in a respectable way. Our families would have a voice. The church would have a voice. Our community would have a voice. Our principals and teachers would have a voice. Our businesses would have a voice. And the judicial system would have a voice. We are one nation under God, indivisible. We are to uphold the word of God in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our school, in our businesses, and definitely in the justice system. We got a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. We have got to become the leaders that this nation needs today. And where do you start leading with integrity? Right in your own home. Right among those children that call you mom, that call you grandma, that call you grandpa, that call you daddy. You lead with integrity in your home. And once we have mastered that, then we can go out and lead with integrity on our jobs and in our communities, in the classroom, in the church. And when we can impact those places, we can help make a difference in the judicial system, in the Senate House, in the House of Representatives, and even in the White House. I want to encourage you today, my brothers and sisters, to begin to live a life of integrity. Godly morals, values, and principles are important, and they need to be seen in our homes. Well, where do I get them from, Pastor Black? I get them from studying the Word of God, for praying to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and asking the Holy Spirit to teach me all things, to teach me how to apply the Word of God to my life. And then I must be a doer of the Word, not just a reader or a hearer. We got to grow up, saints of God. Reading the Word of God is not enough. Hearing the Word of God is not enough. Thank you for joining us this morning to hear the Word of God. But once you get off this line, you have a next step to do, and that is to do what you have heard. God wakes us up, and he gives us another chance. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. All we have is today. So we begin to live our day, we begin to live our life with a life of integrity. We must be trustworthy. Can your family trust you? Can your neighbors trust you? Can your employer trust you? Do they see godly principles in your life? Your t-shirt, not on your hat, not on your bumper sticker, but in the way you talk, in the way you live, in the way you serve. Time for the body of Christ to stand up and take our rightful place, to do what God has commissioned and commanded us to do. Love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly before our God. That's what he has required of us. My brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you will allow this word to stir up lively conversations, not debates and not arguments, but lively conversations with God-fearing men and women, so that you can get a good understanding of the world system, that it was created to replicate the system of the Word of God. Gracious Father, we thank you for being a God of order and being a God that has established your laws for us to live by. I pray, Father God, that as we gather together today to pray, we pray for our nation. We pray that the hearts of men and women who sit in the House of Representatives, who sit in the Senate House, who sit in the White House, who sit in the local judicial systems, our mayors and our governors, will govern themselves accordingly to the Word of God, that they would seek your face and that they would seek you like Solomon for wisdom as they deal with your people. We pray that a great revival will come and stir up the hearts and minds of every leader in this state, in this country, in this world. We love you today, Father, and we're so grateful for all that you have given to us. If you bring us to it, you will bring us through it. And we must remember, Zephaniah 3 reminds us that you are in the midst of us. So thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our protector, our provider, our way maker, our bridge over troubled water. Thank you for being our intercessor. Thank you for being our help. Thank you for being our strength. Most of all, thank you for being our hope and our joy and our peace. For the world can't take it away from us because it is in you. We give your name all glory. We give you all honor and all praise. Amen. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining us this morning for our morning worship. We will be back tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. for our evening worship with the Light of Portland. And be ready to receive some good word, hear some good worship, and to go in go before the throne of grace in prayer tonight at 8 o'clock, the same number. Amen. Let us prepare now to receive our benediction. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you all, hence now and forevermore. What I say unto one, I say unto all, do justly, do love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister.
I don't think anybody would argue with me if I said that we are living in tough, trying, turbulent times. There's trouble and problems everywhere we go. It's trouble in the finances. Many of us have more months than we do money. Many of us who made investments in a 401k is now a 201F. We're dealing with hostile husbands and disobedient daughters and wayward wives. And sometimes it makes us want to pull out our hair and say, how are we going to make it out of this mess? All of us have asked that proverbial question. How am I going to make it? How am I going to get by? And the answer comes back to every single generation. Six little words. The just shall live by faith. Faith is what's going to take you out of every circumstance. Faith is getting ready to take you out of every... Oh, come on, somebody. I dare you to stand on your feet and just tell somebody next to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord. It's going to happen by faith.